I don't know why. I named the podcast Mockery Rocks. I thought it could be lighthearted, but how can anything be lighthearted when we're into killing? I have the names and new stories of two natural-born killers. I am Patrick Boggs. I am the father of Rokorota. We like to call him Rocky. I am his dad. I will teach him that it is evil to kill. Natural Born Killers, the movie, was written by Quentin Tarantino, given credit for the story, and David Veloz, given credit for the screenplay, directed by Oliver Stone. And again, it was way back in 1994, and it was fiction. It might not have been taken seriously because it was fiction. Now we have real-life killers, and we can learn their names. The headline from Reuters News Service says, teenager charged with homicide in shootings at Wisconsin protests. Teenager, okay. And he wasn't from the place where he did the shooting. He was arrested and charged with homicide in connection with gunfire that killed two people and wounded a third during protests over the police shooting of a black man in Wisconsin, the city of Kenosha. The suspected shooter was identified as Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old from Antioch, Illinois, who was arrested on a warrant in Illinois and charged with first-degree intentional homicide, according to court documents. The Public Defender's Office in Lake County, Illinois, where Rittenhouse was being held pending extradition to Wisconsin, declined to comment. Meanwhile, at the Republican National Convention, the theme was law and order, which seems to be code words for, if Americans want to be natural-born killers, the president endorses that. In the series of incidents, the other name was Rusten, spelled R-U-S-T-E-N, Shesky, S-H-E-S-K-E-Y. He is the policeman who shot Jacob Blake and shot him several times in the back. And Jacob Blake was unarmed and he was with his children. The policeman, Rusten Shesky, did not shoot any of the children in the car, and that's something we can be thankful for. But we must label him from now on as a natural-born killer. I am a podcaster who listens to other podcasts. I am often frustrated with sports podcasts because they want to pretend that there are sports. Fundamentally, sports got started because people would pay to see the games live. but in the case of the NBA and Major League Baseball, there is no audience except on TV. All right. How long can they go on saying, we are professionals, but you cannot pay to see us if you walk up to the ticket office? Of course, I have no answer for my own question, but I would challenge those people on those sports podcasts and radio shows and podcasts on video, on YouTube, or Peacock to answer that question. How long should it be viable for sports teams to make money from advertising on television when you cannot see people at the game or watching the game? There is at least one good citizen, maybe many more, that I don't know about. I'm talking about in the NFL coaching ranks. His name is Matt Patricia, a 45-year-old white man raised in central New York State, and Trey Flowers, a 27-year-old black man from Huntsville, Alabama. They were just talking. In the spring, following the George Floyd incident, the two came from different places geographically, different perspectives and different experiences, yet they work together. Patricia is the Detroit Lions coach. Flowers is one of the team's defensive linemen. Patricia wanted to know what he could do to help. Flowers came up with a basic thing, and the thing is, just listen. The comment weighed on Patricia as a video emerged of Jacob Blake being shot in the back by police, and now we know the name of the policeman. Patricia wanted to do what was asked of him after the Lions returned from a scheduled off day. He didn't feel right about just going into practice, Patricia said. I didn't feel right about running some football drill without talking to my team. So he held a team meeting, 100-some-odd players, coaches, and staff. Patricia spoke briefly and then opened the floor to discussion. What resulted was 4 hours of numerous Lions players, described as heavy, emotional, and powerful. Soon after, players were in the locker room still talking when a consensus was reached. No one wanted to practice. The most important thing they could do was call off an afternoon prep work and instead use their collective pulpit to tell the world that change, real change, has to come. And the first bit of change is to listen to each other. As a football team, in doing so, the Lions became the first professional sports team to cancel practice over social injustice concerns. We can't be silent, Flowers, the defensive lineman, said. We can't stay silent. It cannot be us going through our regular day. So today we stand unified. Flowers wanted to keep the message simple because he knew how canceling practice could be viewed. He wasn't wrong. Almost immediately, social media and local sports radio descended into a predictable argument over these kinds of issues. And I think that we can guess that callers who may have called into talk shows in that market might have said, why can't they just play and be players? They don't need to be commentators. Yes, everybody needs to take a stand against the violence. Everybody. So if you meet someone in your daily walk who says, shoot the looters, then you should say, no one needs to die. Americans should not want to kill Americans. Because Rocky's daddy lives in Japan. And I can see what the world thinks about the USA. A nation of killers? You don't want the world to think that. Thank you for listening to this rock of mockery. I'm sorry it couldn't be lighthearted.